Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Talk Radio here on KVRF 89.5 FM here in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site, and all of our podcasts are downloadable from dogworksradio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And sitting beside me is the co-host for Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forto. She is also the lead trainer at Alaska Dog Works. Michelle, how's it going?
Going quite well. How are you doing?
We are doing well. We are getting ready for the fair, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, but we're also cooling down a little bit and getting ready to run the sled dogs.
Absolutely, and I have noticed that we have had a lot of rain lately, and I don't know if anybody else is experiencing any flooding in their areas. I have noticed quite a bit of washout on our trails.
You know, we talked a little bit about that last year when Talkeetna, a town just to the north of us for folks listening outside, flooded pretty remarkably, and many a dog had to be rescued. And that's going to be our topic today, rescued dogs. But yes, it is raining quite a bit up at our house. I think we've been doing it for about a week and a half now.
Doing the rain?
Yes.
Doing the rain. Yeah, I have to say that I don't mind the rain, but a peek here and there from the blue skies and the sunshine is always enjoyable.
It is. So let's talk about the fair. Up here in Alaska, we have a remarkable state fair. It starts this Friday night here in Palmer, and it runs through Labor Day. And Michelle and I are going to be hosting an entire day at the KVRF tent on Sunday, August 31st from 11 to 5.
Well, I hope that you've cleared your calendar because that's news to me, so I must make sure that my calendar is clear as well.
You know, it actually, I apologize, it's September 1st. Sunday, September 1st is when we're going to be there. So mark your calendars, September 1st, 2013, the Dog Talk Radio team and the comedy pair of Robert and Michelle Forto will be hosting from KVRF 89.5 live from the Alaska State Fair.
And where are we located at the fair in case anybody would like to come over and join the fun and festivities with us?
Well, I believe we're in the Raven Hall in the fairgrounds. I believe that's pretty much smack dab in the middle of the fair, is it not?
I think it is. It's a pretty good location this year. I know that last year the location was a little bit skewed in the old cabin on the red side. When you hosted Mushing Radio from
and
the
that
fair.
We did. And KVRF is going to host from the fair every day in one capacity or another. We are going to have music going on as well as interviews and guests and just about everything. And, of course, you can hear it streamed live on our app at KVRF Radio Free Palmer and, of course, on our website and right here on 89.5. So there will be plenty of shows happening, and we will be live on the air on Sunday, September 1st, 11 to 5.
Well, there you go. So anybody out there on Sunday, if you'd like to stop by, ask us any questions regarding your dog, dog training questions, breed questions, any old question about a dog, stop on by and let us know. If you make something for dogs, whether it be dog beds, booties, hats, whatever, if you make something out of dog fur, like we know some people that do that with the husky fur, stop on by and tell us a little bit about your craft. That's what the state fair is all about.
It is. And, of course, I know you cannot bring your dogs to the fair unless they are certified assistance dogs, but you can come and ask us questions. And or if you have questions to ask us ahead of time and you want to hear them live on our fair broadcast, you can hear them at that time. And now we're not going to talk just about dogs during that time. We're going to be hosting the entire day. So I don't think we can have 6 hours of dog talk, but we'll definitely bring your questions in as we're hosting the day. I look forward to it. Maybe we'll do a little bit of a old school type broadcast. That would be cool, huh, Michelle?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to stay away from the word old and hope that we can just carry the show, have a good time, and maybe we'll bring up some topics that we've spoken about on some of our other shows as well. It's all dog related, whether it be Mushing Radio or Dog Talk Radio.
And speaking of Mushing Radio, we're in the process right now of recording some interviews with some up-and-coming mushers, particularly Iditarod 2014 rookies. I think we have 5 interviews that we've already conducted, and those will air this fall when Mushing Radio is back on the air at this time slot, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And we will continue that through the mushing season up until March 9th when we're going to cover our Iditarod coverage. And then what happens on March 9th, Michelle?
March 9th, 2014. Huh. Let's see. It's about 3 or 4 days before our 15th anniversary. So it's kind of an important time in our lives, but what happens dog-related is the Independence Mind 200 kicks off on March 9th, 2014. We are looking for volunteers. Anybody that's ever been interested in helping in any sort of way in a mushing event, let me know, because I'm sure that I can come up with a job for you to do. This will be going on after Iditarod. Start is going to be out of Willow Trading Post in the heart of Willow. You know, run up Hatcher's Pass to Independence Mine and back. It's a pretty involved trail. From what I understand, it's gonna take surprise of the best of them. But it's more about that race for the gold, which is our tagline.
It is, and we're going to have much more information about that tomorrow night on our Facebook page. And our Facebook page is Independence Mine 200. Just search that in Facebook, and you will find our page. Make sure you hit the like button, and you'll get those updates. So before
we have already been getting a lot of comments about the website not being ready, so I'm hoping that my media guru, i.e. Mr. Robert Forto, gets that website up and running by this weekend.
We sure hope so. So before we go into our topic today, Michelle, what else is going on in the world of dogs?
In the world of dogs, you know, it's that weird time of year where there's not a lot going on event-wise for dogs here in Alaska, which hopefully we can get some of the local rescues and veterinarians to talk to us about when they are having any sort of shot clinics or adoptions and things like that.
So, yes, we'll keep you updated on the Facebook page for sure. So today's topic, we're going to talk about rescued dogs, and this brings up a story that I read just before airtime. And everybody knows the status of Detroit. They're in bankruptcy. They're having a real tough time up there. And, of course, when people have tough times, that also means that their pets do as well. And the headline reads, 50,000 abandoned dogs roaming the streets of Detroit in packs. What are you thinking about that, Michelle? First grab of that headline.
Well, is dogs spelt D-O-G-S or D-A-W-G-S?
D-O-G-S.
That's my comedy for today. You know, down in Detroit, not up in Detroit, like you said, down in Detroit, I think that the economy hit them particularly hard, yes, but I think that the infrastructure and the city planning really failed the people of Detroit. I mean, it's a hearty, well-established community in our country, and it's really sad to see what has happened there.
It has, and when you think about 50,000 rescued dogs roaming the streets, that's a considerable number. That is,
I don't understand, how are they rescued if they're roaming?
No, we're going to talk about rescued dogs, but that's what's happening. There's 50,000 dogs just roaming the streets in packs. I almost think of something like post-apocalypse, where, you know, the zombies are out, and here's all these feral dogs walking up and down the streets. 50,000 is a huge number of dogs that are walking around untethered.
How long have they been running loose, roaming the streets?
Well, the article doesn't say, but this is a report from the Humane Society of the United States. And this is not just in Detroit in particular. Lots of desolate communities are having the same problem. But of course, in Detroit, where there's rampant unemployment, rampant foreclosures, rampant job loss, rampant people that have to move from the city very quickly, oftentimes they just abandon their pets, not just dogs, but cats and pythons and everything else. So it is going to become an epidemic problem if something isn't done. So I wanted to talk about that today, then segue into rescues here in a minute. But what in the world would you do, Michelle, if you were faced with this question as a dog trainer and the city of Detroit just happened to call you up and say, hey, we need some help here. How can we deal with this problem? And I'm thinking of incidences like Katrina and things like that where they had a massive deployment of people, but they don't have that ability in this situation, understandably. What would you say to these folks on how to at least start this process?
You know, it brings me back to a situation when we first started our dog training business down in Colorado in circa 2006. There were a lot of foreclosures. There were a lot of people being removed from their rental properties and so on and so forth due to economic situations, and they would just leave their pets behind. In more unfortunate situations, the pets would be left with a very little amount of food, some water, and locked up in a shed. I would imagine the hopes that the people would be returning in a day or two to get the dog and then weren't able to ever again. We had a lot of rescues contact us with dogs that had been discovered in those situations, either running loose or chained to trees or left in sheds, so on and so forth. And I'm imagining that Detroit, that's probably how this started, and it just, you know, domino effect afterwards. I would have to say to the, I don't even know who would be in charge of such an undertaking of pets, but at some point you would imagine that the Humane Society on a national level is going to have to step in and try to get these pets into foster homes, into rescue situations, into shelters. And, you know, sad but true, unfortunately, I would say after a vet assessment, depending on vitality, health, age, and so on and so forth, you're going to have to really consider how many of those dogs are going to be put down humanely.
So just some tidbits from the article. It says that there have been 903 dog bites this year, including one woman who had her scalp bitten off by two stray dogs in Detroit. And also, the United States Postal Service had to halt delivery to several Detroit neighborhoods after 25 carriers reported dog bites between October of last year through July of this year. And what's interesting about that is they were all attacked by swarms of tiny little dogs, and they're calling it Chihuahuaville. Can you just imagine 25 little dogs running around biting at your heels all at one time? That again, this just harkens back to a horror movie.
Well, it does and it doesn't. You know, you and I watch a lot of documentaries. We watch the History Channel. We watch Discovery. And a few years ago, Discovery did this show where it showed the future of Earth and how, if the infrastructure fails, how animals will revert so quickly back to their instinctual wild selves. For instance, pack of Chihuahuas or not, they're going back to their natural instinct. They're starving. They are returning to the wild, so to speak, even though they're on the industrial streets of Detroit. You are dealing with a pack of miniature wolves. And I think that comes into play. What did the show say it takes? Less than 2 weeks for a dog to revert back to its instinctual ways of surviving?
That's a pretty remarkable thing for a dog to turn from that sweet and lovable pet into a quote-unquote wild animal that is roaming the streets. But again, it's all about survival of the fittest. You and I talk about that a lot on our shows, and that ability to survive happens very quickly in the dog world, and I guess in this case, Chihuahuaville, where packs of tiny, ferocious dogs are attacking people as they walk down the street. You know, this sounds almost unbelievable when we talk about it, and as I think about it, but I guess it's happening.
You know, I give the media probably a grain of salt on it. I mean, I'm sure it's being sensationalized a bit. But, I mean, if this were absolutely 100% true, it makes me wonder how many of these dogs are attacking each other and the other stray pets, how many of the cats are attacking each other and other stray pets. You're going to be dealing with disease. I believe the article said this has been going on for a little over a year. They're going to have disease issues, fecal issues, all sorts of things going on. In the industrial areas of Detroit, there aren't a lot of mice and rats for dogs to go and eat. And from what I've seen, dogs don't usually eat those kinds of animals. They usually play with them until they die, and then they move on.
So I would imagine lots of trash. Again, thinking about an apocalyptic type scenario with all of these dogs running around in abandoned neighborhoods. And, of course, the article says that pit bulls and most mixed breed dogs are the most prevalent type of dog that are left out in the wild. Animal control officials in Detroit say that dogs are often used for criminal purposes by individuals who rely on the dogs to guard abandoned homes where stolen property is kept. Now that there, I believe, is sensationalism. What do you think about that?
Yeah, me too, because I don't think that they're going to have the wherewithal to train a dog well enough to guard their booty. You know, whatever pirating and stealing of objects they have going on, I don't see a stray pit bull providing them with any sort of stealthy protection of goods.
But there is a little bit of truth to that statement in that they said that most of the time it is mixed breed dogs. And this isn't to profile anybody, but typically a person that would have a purebred dog and take care of that purebred dog in a proper manner typically would be in a little bit better financial situation than those folks that may rely on other types of dogs versus the purebreds. What do you think about that?
I disagree with that in this day and age. A lot of people that are economically set will rescue the dogs as a way of giving back to the community. They view that rescuing a dog has become more of a status symbol than having a purebred dog, especially is very frowned upon in today's world if you purchase a dog from a pet store. So, I mean, I'm seriously concerned about the health and welfare of the pets as well as the communities. I mean, if 25 chihuahuas are attacking the mailman for crying out loud, what happens to the school children when they're getting on the bus for school?
So, you know, very interesting story. I read this just a couple of minutes before airtime, and I thought we had to talk about it. I would love to hear your guys' comments and questions and concerns about this. Definitely fire them off on our Twitter feed at DogWorks Radio or on our Facebook page, DogWorks Radio on Facebook. But, of course, what they are trying to do is they're trying to set up no-kill shelters and find homes for a lot of these dogs. And that in itself, therein lies a problem. I know you and I worked a lot with dogs that came from Katrina when we were at trainers at our school in Denver. A lot of those dogs made their way up north from Louisiana to the Midwest and to the Western states, and we took in a lot of those dogs after they were rescued and or fostered. But a lot of times, dogs that are left quote-unquote, in the wild for a period of time, it takes a while for them to come around to be well-managed pets again. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think that in some cases, the dogs are psychologically irreversible. I mean, we're talking about months into years of roaming the streets on their own. They have had little to no human contact, I would imagine, and the human contact that they are having is probably negative. I mean, imagine you're walking down the street and 2, 3, 4, 15 dogs comes on you. You're going to react in a superficial, afraid way. that's going to probably horrify the dogs just as much as it horrifies you.
And that is true. So I'm sure that there are rescue possibilities for a lot of these dogs, and unfortunately a lot of these dogs probably will be put down, euthanized humanely as possible. But when you think about it, you know, we talked about apocalyptic type neighborhoods with dogs roaming the streets. As the headline says, 50,000 abandoned dogs are roaming the streets of Detroit in packs. That also brings back the question of what happens in other countries. You know, we talk a lot about this on DogWorks Radio when we interview guests from other countries. We always like to ask them the question on how dogs are treated differently in Europe and Mexico and South America and other parts of the world, South Korea, places like that. And it's not the same as it is in the United States, is it?
No, I would imagine in other countries, excuse me, the issue would be eradicated. They put human life above all else, and here in America we do not necessarily put human life above all else. There will be an entire campaign out there to save these dogs. And I am a dog trainer, and I have been involved with livestock and pets my entire life. But I will tell you that this is a situation that I feel is not going to end well in any way that you handle it. There may be 50,000 of them roaming loose that they're estimating, but how many of those dogs aren't spayed and neutered? How many of those cats aren't spayed and neutered? We're talking, this could turn into 300,000 in as little as 3 months.
6 months is the gestation period and birth period and the ability for these dogs to be able to survive pretty much on their own. So yes, if each one of the, let's say that half of them are spayed and are not spayed or neutered, and then half of those are females. Now we're talking about 12,500 females. Each of them have the ability to give 5 or 6 puppies. That is very
closer to 8.
8 puppies. That is very quickly hundreds of thousands of dogs that are roaming
or
the streets, or cats.
And that's what my biggest concern is that they aren't addressing a bigger issue in the article anyhow. And the Humane Society, I'm sure, is probably on top of it. I think that they're a great organization, and I wish them well on this. But that's my concern. What are we going to do with those pets that were not spayed and neutered? Because, as you said, typically lower income people have rescued dogs or the quote unquote non purebred dogs. Some of those people can't afford to have them spayed and neutered. And even if they've been rescued from a shelter that honored spay and neuter rules, doesn't necessarily mean that they were. As you and I know, we have 30 sled dogs. We have 3 males that can still pregnate a female, even though they're quote-unquote neutered.
So always looking forward to your comments and questions. You can, again, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and ask away. We will answer those as they come in. And remember, these are available on podcasts, so this is going to be available forever. So if you do listen to this much later on, and besides today or in the coming week, we would still like to hear what your questions and concerns are. And I would love to find out what the end game is in this, because I think it's going to become a story that will have national impact, at least in terms of how we deal with this situation when dogs are abandoned, whether it be foreclosure or seizure or whatever happens to these unfortunate folks. But this is going to become an epidemic, not only in Detroit, but in a lot of cities throughout the nation, if our economy does not pick up relatively quickly. Any final note on this, Michelle, before we close for the day?
Yeah, why don't you share the link to the article so people can go out and learn about it as well, and that might help them come to a better opinion about it.
Well, you can find it right on Yahoo. It's on the Yahoo homepage. If not, it's the title of the article is 50,000 Abandoned Dogs Roaming the Streets of Detroit in Packs. And that was written just today, August 21st, 2013. So if you're trying to look it up later on, that is the article and the date. So look forward to hearing your comments and questions. And with that, Michelle, again, we're planning on being at the fair on next Sunday, September 1st, from 11 to 5, and we look forward to having your questions, or if you would like to be on the guest of the show, you're always welcome with that too. Michelle, anything else before we go?
Get out there and enjoy your dogs before it gets cold and Robert and I start talking about mushing.
Before we talk about mushing, looking forward to starting that probably around October 15th is when we'll segue from Dog Talk Radio back into mushing. It will be mushing season for us, mushing season for the state of Alaska, and I know a lot of fans worldwide love mushing radio here on KVR, so I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to a very good year of interviews and race reporting, including the Independence Mind 200, which is happening on Saturday, March 9th, 2014. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Independence Mind 200. Until then, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.